The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. What Trump is doing with the American economy is very hard to understand. We've tried to make sense for more than a month now. It starts with, the first layer would be, is it manufacturing, restoration of manufacturing America? Why would you do this to all the countries? Why would you put tariffs on all the countries? As I've shown in one of my discussions on Semiogog, Canada is an example that basically just gives its raw resources to the US and the US processes them in a manufacturer capacity. So you wouldn't go after Canada if that was the goal, if it was all about manufacturing. So then is it a war against China? What the fuck is Trump doing? Even Richard Spencer, I'll be on Richard Spencer tomorrow, and we were talking in DM, and we were like, what the fuck is happening with the economy, the treasury bonds? Absolutely incomprehensible, to the point where I'm like, the only hypothesis that fully makes sense with everything that Trump has done is such a ridiculously simple hypothesis, but it's the only one that sticks to all the elements. And it goes as follows. Trump is operating a shakeout of the market, being unpredictable on purpose, changing his mind on an everyday, being unclear about his communication, because he's currently making a play on the markets and he has a couple of friends or whoever that is maybe his own children, that he's telling, all right, invest here, invest there, okay, now buy, okay, now sell. And he's just shaking up the market. That is, to me, the cynical hypothesis of Trump's behavior these days, but it's the only one that really makes sense. Because he's pausing tariffs, he's unpausing tariffs. What kind of instability? I've never seen this in terms of national policy and international trading policy to be so unstable. It seems that instability is designed. It's a feature, not a bug. End of the line, Joel says, Trump is like a losing boxer, desperate in the last few rounds, swinging roundhouse punches in a slim hope of getting a knockout. And at this point, the instability plays against even the first layer interpretation. So it's not like we're talking about an amazing performance of 6D chess here. Because at this point, the instability created by Trump's pivots and reversals in itself is leading companies to fear for the future of the economy, is reducing investments in America. There was Microsoft announcing that they are canceling a set of servers that they wanted to build server farms in Ohio because they say the economy is too unpredictable at this time. And like yesterday, we were headed toward a depression. This morning, things are rising up. It's really confusing. It's very hard to put a narrative as a commentator over all this other than some Nancy Pelosi-style shake-up is happening here, and someone is profiting from this. And there's some evidence that this is what's happening. Trump today was bragging. There were billionaires in his office. And he said, this guy is good. This guy, This guy made $2.5 billion just out of this morning. Just it's this is insider trading. This is the president chatting about insider trading. Say, oh, look how I shook the market. It made this guy make money and these other guys not make money. And one thing I realized through the current situation is just how fragile the whole American system is. The whole American system, if you can have a president, you make him say a sentence in that direction or a sentence in that direction, and suddenly some people who were rich are getting richer, some people who were too rich are getting poorer. You can totally transfer wealth by sentences if you're a president of the U.S., which has been going on forever when you think about it. You know, you have now the Democrats crying scandal at Trump's behavior. What's hilarious in this is not so much that they're wrong. Yes, it is scandalous behavior. If it is as I interpret it, it's really a cynical play to just shake up the market and make money out of it. But that cynical play has been done over and over again, and it's the first time we hear the Democrats being shocked at this. The Democrats weren't going after Nancy Pelosi for these very same insider plays that she was doing. Vlad the Impaler says the Trump administration needs to critically reduce government debt because it needs to reduce interest payments on the debt. Government cuts and tariffs are just a way to get rid of the debt. It is more likely that this delay in raising tariffs is caused by the situation in the debt market. That is another interpretation. That is another layer. So the explanation is Trump is intentionally, or was intentionally up to today, crashing the economy for the purpose of lowering the percentage, the natural interest rates of the market, so that the government can have a renewal of its debt at a lower interest rate. We'll see the movements on the market. There was some micro movement down, you know, which was considerable, 0.25. That was 4 days ago at the bottom peak here. But then 4 days ago, someone started calling Trump's bluff. Because this is a measure, the five-year treasury. It's a measure of just how risky the current economy feels and how people are under the impression that we're headed toward a recession. And so they want to buy U.S. five-year treasury at lower rates because they're like, if I can at least keep my money and make a little bit of interest on it, I'm fine. I'm happy because the market has become too risky. So basically, as this slope goes down and down, it illustrates that people have less confidence in the short term, five next years of the economy. But then 4 days ago, it started rising again. And that was probably some people calling the bluff of Trump on tariffs and perhaps knowing or feeling that Trump was about to cancel or significantly pause these tariffs. And today he did a 90-day pause of tariffs, although he says that we will keep 10% tariffs, but those are much lower than the tariffs that were originally discussed. It is quite, and it's 10%, and it's because the countries have been showing willingness to negotiate. Negotiate what? We don't fully know. Negotiate the trade deficit that Trump wants to fix. But he only kept the tariffs, the big tariffs on China at 125%. Now, people had barely understood what were the percentages. There were people saying, is it 107? Is it 113%? Now, by the time people haven't even finished to understand the old tariffs, Trump changes them to 10% for all countries, but 125% for China. And I had said like that was quite prophetic when I said 7 days ago on SemioGog. I said in my introduction, in the end, this is all about China. And I know that Jan Rushdie reminds me often that he's the one who seeded this idea in my mind. Ultimately, Canada, all the shit that we've seen in the last month is somehow all about China. And it shows today as Trump makes an asymmetric tariff onto China versus all the other countries. End of the line, Joel says, the news cycle is so unserious, it gets bored of Ukraine after a few days, so pivots to Israel, then pivots to tariffs, then pivots again to transgenderism, etc. Yeah, it is a very confusing time to be alive, because this is a case where it's not known if Trump has an actual intelligent plan with all this. Nick Fuentes is suggesting today, no, he's truly blinking. He's panicking because of this activity. So basically, the fact that the market called this bluff shows that it didn't work. He didn't succeed at maintaining the interest rate low enough for long enough. And so the market is kind of trapping Trump also. Let's not forget that it's not just Trump trying to modify the market to his desires and views. There's a bilateral game here. The market at some point understands that there's a certain amount of pain that the American people is not willing to go through, and that Trump wouldn't let happen to the American people. And very often you have markets calling out the bluff of the Fed, calling out the bluff of governments, and saying, no, you're going to spend money. You're going to inject money into the system because you have no other choice. And it's perhaps it's a little bit what's happening here. Trump's bluff being called in advance, 4 days in advance by the market. He now has no other choice but to stop those tariffs, because he would induce so much pain onto the economy, it would eventually fall on his back, the fact that we're in a recession. Vlad the Empire says the one-year treasury was falling just before Trump announced the delay. Yes, there was a lot of radical movements. Blimpy Survivor says, what's the official reason it's different for China? And here, this is where it seems like a collage of excuses. Like, you're right. How do you justify this from an objective standpoint, or from at least a standpoint that can be defended as objective? And Trump and the Scott Bessin and the administration came out today and said, it's because China retaliated. And the MAGA voices like Cattard, who just yap and yap pro-Trump talking points, they came out and said, genius move by Trump. Within a couple of days of tariffs, he saw exactly who would retaliate, and he saw who was America's true enemies. Yeah, you go for it, Trump. You didn't need to wreck the American economy to know that China has been doing this. Trump has been complaining about China doing this forever. These kinds of currency manipulation, favoring of exports, etc. So Cattard, his theory is that now we know China is the real enemy because they're the one who's retaliated. But it's so childish for America to act like this, like enact a false punishment to test retaliation, to then punish the retaliators. That doesn't make sense. There's something missing there, which is why I think the cynical hypothesis is the only one that truly makes sense. Vlad the Empire says, I don't understand at all what is happening in the market right now. The situation is not much better now, but the S&P index is up 10%. Next day, it could be minus 10% again. The trust is losing. Yes. And Marby Dog says, I don't think 2 days have wrecked the US economy. I mean, instability of that kind is a massive opportunity for injustice. There are people who get stuck in positions. There are people who have the information. Those are the privileged class, the people who are friend enough with Trump that they will get the information and they will adjust their position. There are also honest market actors who are just trying to make a living, and they get messed up by these surprise announcements and these veering to the left, veering to the right all the time. So yes, 2 days may seem like very small from a long-term employment perspective. From the perspective of a McDonald's worker, maybe the economy wasn't messed with. But from the perspective of the market, it's an absolute sham. And it's a messing up with the normal meritocratic system of the market. And it advantage who is advantaged by instability? It's the people who have a prior access to information. The Jack Acid says, the Jews always make money when the stock goes up and down. They love this. Yes. the Jews have also gotten a hold of Tim Pool, who will be talking about this. To come back on my appearance of yesterday, Jean-François Gariepy, his story on the Real Housewives of Alberta. It's a small show of women that normally does 5 views or 10 views. Now my appearance on their show has brought it to 1,300 views. What happened with these girls is that last week they started making a show about how I'm the killer of Mama JF, and I intervened in their chat and I was debunking them live. I was like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. You lied here. You got this wrong. And so we thought, instead of debunking them straight from the chat and them yapping whatever they can read on Kiwi Farms, I might as well appear and give them my side of the story. On the one hand, they were respectful, so the interview itself went well. But I know it's all in vain, because I know this fat woman, Rocky, she has decided in her head, he certainly did it. To her, it doesn't matter at all. The fact that me and Mama JF were in separate provinces at a 5-hour driving distance minimum when she disappeared. Oh, he must have done it. And so it's like, no matter how much I lay out and indicate everything that happened, no matter how gentle and kind I've been to them by showing up for 1 hour and 30 minutes explaining myself to women to whom I owe nothing, these women are absolutely irrational in the fucking head. And I think it's the fat. I think really there's an accumulation of fat around their belly, their hips, and it gets into their brain. And there's just an amount of fat that the woman brain cannot take, after which it becomes completely incapable of reaching conclusions correctly. So there she is in the comment section saying, oh yeah, well, we got him on the record now. It's like, you think you caught a murderer, you fucking retard? You think you caught a murderer? You think a murderer got onto your show and is going to get catched by the RCMP because he may have contradicted himself between what he said to the RCMP and what he said on your show? You're fucking delusional. You're exactly the problem with modern woman. And the idea that these boomer MAGA style housewives, so-called housewives, are anyhow right-wing. I was looking at the show. It starts with a bunch of right-wing boomer memes. but like the boomerest of all memes that you could think of. It's a shame because they were respectful to my face. But then if you're respectful to my face and then when I go out and you write in your comment section, "Oh, now we got him." It's like you're really unfixable. There's no amount of rationality that can get through you. So these true crime fucking women are dangerous. By the way, this kind of person, at least in Alberta, you know, they are housewives and they just have their 5 viewership show and that's okay. They won't make much trouble. But in all liberal provinces and states, these true crime fucking disrupted women, they become judges and lawyers. And their fiction becomes the reality upon which the law is abdicated. So, very dangerous situation, these women. End of the line, Joel says, "Jeff, you should ask Brett Weinstein for your book back." I wouldn't because when I give something, I truly give. Doesn't matter if the gift eventually comes to hurt, comes to chew my conscience and lead me to question whether I should have given it at all. To me, a gift is a gift. It's a gift that goes... A gift is an exchange for suffering sometimes, and I will carry the suffering going forward. Blimpy Survivor says, "Same way they go gaga for the paranormal." Marby Dog says, "Women love true crime mysteries. It's psychological." Yeah, but we have to get these women under some degree of controlled environment. We can create maybe an aquarium where they can fictitiously interact with each other, but it doesn't get out of the aquarium. I don't know what must happen here. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the Streamlabs link in the description below. Streamlabs.com/JFGtonight/tip is my favorite way to receive support for the show. You will get your tips immediately illustrated on the screen. Russ Chifley says, "Those two bitches talked so much shit, but had nothing to say when you showed up. A bunch of fucking clowns." Exactly. This is where the irrationality of these women show up. It's like, "Oh, we're going to be respectful in front of you because we want to get to the truth." Okay? But once you get to the truth, why don't you shut the fuck up when I'm gone? No, they can't do that. They want to make it look like they care about the social world. In the end, it's what it is. Like, even the old one was asking me, "Don't you think that your behavior... don't you think that your behavior isn't helping you?" It's like, fucking woman. How do I explain this? By standards that I don't even want to be judged by, I'm better than you. Like, these women were like, "We only care about putting up more attention around the disappearance of Mama JF." You know who put the most attention around the disappearance of Mama JF? Papa JF, and he didn't even want to. So even by this standard, the fact that I'm an asshole, the fact that there's so many people hating me, what do you think is the impact overall onto the search for Mama JF? The impact is that I'm in Newsweek covered as a potential white supremacist murderer. How much millions of minds do you think that is thinking about Mama JF on the everyday? How would you have accomplished this without my behavior? I may be the man who has brought the most attention ever in the history of humanity to the disappearance of his wife. Never in the world has there been someone elevating his own case onto an international murder mystery. And these women are like, but do you think it's effective what you're doing? You may be getting the wrong message out there. Bitch, I am by the standard that you want to judge me by, which is causing interest in the disappearance of Mama JF, I'm a fucking genius. Imagine a insurance salesman JF. Imagine a JF that's not an asshole. Imagine a JF that's not hated. How much attention does that JF bring to the disappearance of his random wife who no one knows about? Zero. Zero coverage in Newsweek. Zero Daily Beast articles. Zero super chatters that are asking you, where is Mama JF? All of this has been caused by me. And yet these women want to behave like, but there's still something wrong about how you say it. It's stone policing fucking again. Like, Andrew Wilson was right about this. It always gets back to tone policing. Marby Dog says JF is dangerous because he breaks their programming and he makes logical sense. There's nothing to fix these women, let me tell you, nothing. Because I was there for an hour and a half. They took in the facts. But we still want to see him as somehow, mysteriously, maybe involved. It's like the smoke and the relationship between smoke and fire. You know, there's no smoke without fire. It's embedded in their mind and it leads them to false conclusions. Rush Chifley says, all those stupid bitches care about is stone policing. It's the same thing phenomenon when conservative women speak on the right. All they are there to do is stone police and impose their delusions. Absolutely. I'm so afraid that there really is no possible rational output to the black box system that a woman is. Magister Templi says, was expecting them to get nasty and excited. Hopefully your appearance will at least help bring some people back to reality. Yeah, I was happy with my performance and with the message that I've dropped to the audience, but people are fucking retarded, man. There's nothing you can do. Marby Dog says they are totally investing in the feeling that imaginary investigations engender in them. Yes, they're like a gambler. They're being rewarded by fiction. By the way, I'm preparing to prove that your book is even worse than whatever Dawkins could ever have shit out of his arse. Problem? My girlfriend left me, and now my new girlfriend consists of a lot of ethanol. P.S. It be what it is. What? There's always these delusional guy like, I'm about to debunk the revolutionary phenotype. I just need to get sober for a day and I'm gonna fuck up your book, bro. Bro, you wanna attack the theory of phenotypic revolution? Bad luck. It may be the only real thing that was stated in the last 10 years. Like, it's the one thing that you're not gonna be able to debunk. Wow. And they're always like, they always share their little unstable life for some reason. It's like, well, please stop getting drunk first, then write up your debunk of the revolutionary phenotype. Blimpy Survivor says, on Thursday, I will be revealing the solution to the Goldbach conjecture. Just gotta finish the charcuterie plate. Why? I mean, it's a confrontation with the fact that people are fucking retarded. We keep being reminded of this every day. Here we have a daycare person who was apparently caring for maybe her own son or someone's son and was inserting what is believed to be melatonin in his throat to force him to calm down?
They believe this video shows a worker carry their son by his arms to a seat, then fling him out of his chair.
Okay, it's not the son of the worker, it's the son of a parent.
Then they say...
So he was thrown on the floor.
The worker appears to force something into his mouth. They believe it was another child's melon.
And what do we have here? A black hand. This black daycare worker. A black hand forcing drugs into your white child mouth. And this is the program. This is what happens when you abandon your children to the daycare. Because the daycare is forced to hire based on race and based on gender. And so they get a black woman that gives them 2 points of diversity. And you end up with a higher level of violence that your child will live around. Because you're in a race where there's a higher level of violence. Marby Dog says, this happened because women want to work. Exactly. Bring back women to be mothers, and if they want to be violent with their children, well, then it punishes their bloodline. And then you have other bloodlines that eventually outcompete them. But as long as people are pooling their babies into these communistic, equalistic systems... It's like playing Lotto with your baby. It's like we were putting our babies in a, you know, these rolling lottery pickers. And it's like, let's pick who's going to get murdered today. Let's pick at random who's going to get abused by a black daycare worker who loses it. The squirrel is back. A photographer has approached a squirrel with... A microphone so that we can hear the private life of the squirrel. They can basically have they have lots of signaling with sounds. It's like they're almost having conversations. All right. End of the line, Joel says, he's peeking. Temple confirms he took part in what was supposed to be a private roundtable meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu and other influencers. It was under Chatham House rules, which means you cannot reveal anybody who attended nor attribute anything said to any one individual.
I got late word that I was invited to a private roundtable meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. It was under what's called Chatham House rules, for those that are not familiar. This means that you cannot reveal anybody who attended, nor attribute anything to any one individual, as they can deny it, and they would. However, what I love about what the White House is currently doing, when you bring together a bunch of influencers and podcasters who don't know much about journalism, culture, whatever you want to call it, not that we respect it tremendously, most people didn't know what Chatham House meant. So with all due respect, it's funny because they bring us into the Blair House, which is where Netanyahu was staying. And immediately people are walking around with their cameras, their phones up. They actually took our phones from us. And I legit thought they would maintain Chatham House rules, meaning you can't quote the prime minister, you can't quote his officials and the other people who were there, but you can report what was said generally. If you wanted an official quote on a specific matter, you would then ask an official once the meeting was wrapped and they'd provide you the exact quote. Or they would just say outright, like, we ain't putting our quotes on that one.
What a bizarre situation. And it illustrates that Israel is aggressively preparing for psyops, for public psyops. And Tim Pool will be the center. Of course, he's been unofficially within the network of Zionist speakers. He's been hanging out with the Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro. He's been featuring speakers that are systematically, you know, the Jack Posobiec kind, the kind of kosher that go to use the wordings of far right, but that are not far right themselves. So what is Jack Posobiec's specialty? It's Christ is King, but without Fuentes. It's White Boy Summer, but without racism. He's been doing it again and again, and sometimes, like, weirdly late. Weirdly late in the way, like, he came out with White Boy Summer, and that led Nick Fuentes to be laughing his ass off. He came out with White Boy Summer 3 years late, like... And there were boomer... I remember Nick Fuentes making a skit about this where there were boomer women in the crowd that were, oh, White Boy Summer! This is Jack Posobiec, and this is the whole America pro-military intelligence apparatus that's getting activated to conquer Timcast as dominated territory for, yes, and Vlad the Impaler says, PSYOP for what? For war with Iran? It looks like this, because what would justify suddenly Benjamin Netanyahu trying to make acquisitions within the journalistic, supposedly independent creator crowd? What would lead Benjamin Netanyahu to want to do this while Trump is begging Congress to increase the military budget of the U.S. to $1 trillion? The biggest. It's going to be the biggest. It's going to be the biggest military budget we ever had. It looks like this is all in preparation for war. And this whole... As far as I'm concerned, Timcast has been and is now confirmed to be within the war planning apparatus of the Zionist and domination to be enforcing domination of Israel onto the Middle East and doing so by brainwashing American minds. That is extremely sad to see someone who had supposedly divorced from central control when he left the Vice to go on his own, to be an independent creator, but to fall back into being basically just a product of a farm, a product of a pimp. Journalistically, it's very sad because he had all of the success that he needed. He had to silence himself a little bit to survive on YouTube, to which I say, okay, sometimes you have to do this. But he didn't have to kneel to the system that much. And at this point, you realize he was doing all of this very voluntarily. He likes the fact that there are YouTube rules against criticizing Israel, because in the end, he intends to cash out on the support of Israel thing. Ross Chifley says, funniest part was Posobiec coming on stage in the stupid sunglasses and throwing t-shirts to all these boomer old white ladies. Cringiest shit I've ever seen. Your Republican Party, sir. Exactly. And so we have here a Tim who has his entire crew being Polish Jews. We have Tim who has a list of guests that are constantly pro-Zionist warmongers in a subtle way that seem perfectly designed to basically sell a war with Iran to a public that's not super receptive, maybe even to an anti-war leftist public. At this point, I think it's time to call out and say it explicitly. Tim is just an organ of Israel. He is an organ that keeps its independence only for the purpose of being more efficient at eventually turning minds toward war. He's accusing Sam Hyde of making up fake shit. The full context of the missile is that I said false flags don't matter in the context of planning. Once the false flag happens, people argue, but the perpetrator got what they wanted. Okay, well, I don't see Sam Hyde in this clip going into this, so I don't know why he's saying this. And also, I never mentioned having trouble monetizing. Well, Sam Hyde claimed that Tim was complaining about monetization. I understand what Sam Hyde mean, and I heard Tim do this. At some point, Tim was complaining that it's hard to run a company and, oh, you know what, maybe we're not going to be able to make it. Maybe it's just not going to work. That is what Sam Hyde is referring to. Tim Pool has been multiple times complaining about maybe we won't be able to make it. Maybe we're going to have to close shop.
What does Mossad have on RFK Jr.? What do they have on Tim Pool? Are they paying Tim Pool? Who funds Tim Pool?
Should have looked into Rabbi Shmuley. It's a name that you can't ignore.
If Tim Pool makes money through Super Chat donations, that's where they make... Oh, they made $1.3 million over a five-year period. Did you see him complaining about not being able to monetize? He has like 30 employees or something, and he's not... He wasn't able to figure out how to make money. Isn't he fucking huge? Why does he censor himself about Israel?
I keep being told about the USS Liberty. That's something with the Israeli government.
Yeah, no, you should.
No. Wait.
You should be careful about that.
So the subject is really bad on Tim. Tim Cast is intentionally not inviting people who could offer a counter to the Israeli narrative because he's so close to the Israeli narrative that at this point he's having closed room meetings with them, just like regular journalists back in the day. Tim Pool crashes out on the Groiper and suggests that Nick Fuentes is an Israeli op. This is where you know that they've gone clownish and ridiculous in their supposed objection. Nick Fuentes, an Israeli op, really? You say this when you hang out with Benjamin Netanyahu? You hang out with Benjamin Netanyahu, who is in the process of committing a genocide, literally bombing babies. And you wouldn't have someone like me on your show because of hate speech. Because of hatred. So hatred, you treat it more harshly than you treat actual killing. Actual killing is fine for Tim Pool. The problem is hatred.
The anti-Israel social media users like Fuentes' crowd are the biggest pro-Israel group I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, the reverse psychology of the Nick Fuentes fans.
It's not my opinion. There is actually a prominent conspiracy theory that Fuentes is an Israeli op, because that's how weird it goes. Because when he...
So suddenly citing conspiracy theories that are completely baseless is interesting.
And his supporters go on social
media... Now try to cite something that's real, like the USS Liberty. And ironically, Tim Pool, who is currently discussing a conspiracy that he acknowledges has no support for, there is no support for, but he's going to tell you, you can't talk about the USS Liberty because it's a conspiracy theory.
Media and attack people, it pushes them towards Israel. It makes them hate the people who are criticizing Israel.
Well, that is absolutely not true. Measurable in surveys right now, the current population of America is 53% non-sympathetic to Israel. And it's the highest percentage that's ever been. So there is something that works in the current messaging of the Nick Fuentes generation that has never worked before. There is a change in the current demographics of the US that leads to much less Israeli sympathy than we've always recorded across history. Absolutely false, Tim. Absolutely false. But you don't have to justify with truth when you're introducing all these caveats about, oh yeah, let's talk about the conspiracy theory because there's lots of people who say that. Okay, so what is the value of this journalistically, Tim? When you start a sentence like this, there's lots of people who say that. It means there's no value to it. Rush Chifle says, Jeff, you think Rabbi Shmuley is a psyop to garner anti-Semitism? Or is he really just a total retard and unable to contain his stereotypical Jewishness? I don't think he's a psyop. I'm afraid he's the real deal. I'm afraid that the Rabbi Shmuley that you see outside is the Rabbi Shmuley that exists inside. Rush Chifle says, do you think it's a coincidence that both Tim Pool and Jason Whitlock come out on the same day and Fat Jacket Nick? No, I think there's definitely a coordinated effort here, because this whole Chatham House rule meeting that Tim Pool is talking about, very clearly what was talked about in this meeting is how do we neutralize the anti-war against Iran voices on the public space. How do we favor the Tim Pools of this world who will give us this Jack Posobiec kosher right-wingism? And how do we shut the voices of those who will complain about it, like Nick Fuentes, JF, and whatever you could call onto the right? So that is a serious... That was a serious planning meeting. Ultimately, what you could think, there's going to be more censorship. We are seeing that Trump has announced that social media anti-Semitic activity would be considered as part of immigration processing. Now, that is creating essentially a special class of Jewish people that cannot be criticized. And especially if you're immigrant, you're not going to have First Amendment rights. It is a case that I think that will get to the Supreme Court. And I would hope that the Supreme Court is not so sold to Jewish and Zionist interests that it would let this pass. But it's a very obvious case of equality of rights and just basic application of the First Amendment. But we are headed toward a society of multiple classes, of multiple rules, multiple laws applying differently to different people. So yes, that was the bizarre activity on the 5-year treasury. So up to April 4th, there was a crash leading people to talk, are we in a depression? But then bluff call, in the last 5 days, it's like someone knew that Trump was not serious with his tariffs. And boom, today, I guess it's going to go even higher, because Trump has now announced that the tariffs are neutralized at pause for 90 days down to 10%. What does this all mean? And then Bitcoin did pretty much a similar move. So it's Bitcoin was in a depression phase, recession phase, and then eventually it started going much better today. The stock market also regained. So basically people realizing that Trump will not be knocking so hard onto the economy as he was letting it be heard, that he may have been bluffing for the purpose of negotiation, despite many times saying, I'm not bluffing for the purpose of negotiation. So it's all very confusing, and it leads to a lot of uncertainty in the economy. Now we have Adam Schiff saying he will be investigating if there was insider trading with the Trump announcement on pausing tariffs. Not much of a secret when the president tweets the entire world to buy 3 hours before the announcement. Yeah, but I think there's place for insider trading in the last 5 days, I would say, as the stock market was kind of recovering and then eventually recovering. Now, it's hilarious that Adam Schiff wants to investigate this when he never wanted to investigate Nancy Pelosi. It's like, let's be clear here. Insider trading by members of Congress has been happening forever, again and again. Nancy Pelosi is on the record making these moves again and again, going for NVIDIA when she knows there's going to be a large amount of money sent to GPUs. China's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, when asked about the 104% tariffs, the U.S. is still abusing tariffs on China. China firmly opposes and will never accept such hegemonic and bullying acts. If the U.S. truly wants to address issues through dialogue and negotiation, they should show the attitude of equality, respect, and a mutual benefit. If the U.S. is determined to fight a tariff and a trade war, China's response will continue to the end. So China, of course, will do some what it can. We've seen them move on the markets in ways as to kind of hurt the U.S. back, and they have been part of the sell-off trend for treasury bonds, so basically divesting their capital from U.S. debt. That is one of the responses we've seen from the last few days. Canada agrees to negotiate new trade deal with the United States. So Canada accepting some sort of discussion again, but we're running in circles here because Canada, for the first 30-day pause, had said, "Oh, we're gonna get all these 14,000 agents at the border to check for fentanyl." And now we have a 90-day pause because, oh, we agree that we're going to discuss a new trade deal. Okay. It's very weird. And the kind of instability that it causes leads to this kind of thing. Microsoft cancels a $1 billion project to build 3 new data centers in Ohio just 5 days after Trump tariffs, because they have to make decisions based on the outlook of the economy, and the economy was not seeming very good. In fact, was seemingly headed toward a depression 3 days ago. So they canceled project. Those are actual ways that the Trump instability is hurting at the bottom. Do not retaliate and you will be rewarded. This is the most bizarre tweet ever. So you're suggesting that the trade war you've engaged in was not really a trade war, it was just a test? But a test for what? A test for whether people would retaliate with tariffs. And if they retaliate, now they got what they wanted. China retaliated. And so now China is the culprit. And so we're dropping all the tariffs on all the other countries but China. Why? Because China retaliated. But, you know, Canada retaliated too. There was Doug Ford, Justin Trudeau, speaking harshly about the American tariffs and saying, We will do whatever we can to hurt America back with more tariffs. So why is it that Canada is not being treated like China? I think I know what it is. In the end, this was all planned in advance. Trump has been designing the instability on purpose to benefit from the market moves. And I believe that the end culprit, being China, was also decided in advance, which is why I was able to predict it 1 week ago on Semiagog, saying, forget about Canada. The Canada question is not even what it's about. In the end, it's all about China. It's all about Trump wanting to position America differentially with respect to China and wanting to dominate China in the long term. Everything that Trump has been doing is explainable through this route and was predictable through this route. And as far as personal enrichment goes and insider trading, I think that's what's happening, basically, because he's even bragging about it.
This is Charles Schwab. It's not just a company, it's actually an individual.
This is Charles Schwab. It's not a company. It's actually just an individual, too.
He made $2.5 billion today, and he made nine.
He made $2.5 billion today.
$900 million. That's not bad.
And $500 million.
You know, he's in financials. I've always been
following. So he's bragging about the fact that his market shakeup led these two guys to get rich. More rich. Vlad the Empire says, by the way, American alcohol is still missing in the LCBOs. Exactly. So it's like there was Canada retaliation. So if the criteria was as the tweet suggests, the criteria is about whether there was retaliation, well, Canada and China would be punished. But it's just China, which tells me it was going to be China all along. It was... This whole trade war was maybe a way to instill fear into the other countries, to make them realize that Trump could crash them anytime. But it was always going to be China in the end. And perhaps Trump is trying to signal what I ultimately want from you is more balanced trade with me, but disengagement from the Chinese market. Maybe that's what he wants to signal, that he's not going to tolerate other countries being used as proxies to redo the trade route that he wants to fight against. Because Trump is saying there's too many goods coming from China into the U.S. and USDs, therefore paying off into China. But imagine there are some countries that become specialized that exporting from China to the US, but with a proxy jump to detour around the tariffs. That could be what Trump is trying to signal to the other countries. Don't pass us Chinese stuff. We have a bunch of buddies. They have totally attacked an handicapped boy. An autistic teen, 17-year-old Victor Perez, who has cerebral palsy. Oh, bro. Cerebral palsy. The problem with it is you don't control your muscle always, and sometimes you're holding a knife, and you're not going to be able to drop it. But he was holding a knife, and so the police just made Swiss cheese out of him. So he's there, being autistic and aggressive. That's maybe his mother or maybe someone he knows, I don't know.
Red truck, red jeep.
He's threatening with a knife, but at the same time he has cerebral palsy, so... Is he trying to just butter his toast? I don't know.
Oh, yep, they're here. Yep, I'm watching from out there. Yep, they're alert. Okay, bye.
Oh, God. Absolutely wasted. Yeah. Well, he got cerebral palsy. He was probably moving like a zombie toward them. I think the police has been kind of assholey in their application of their right to shoot. It's like, okay, I know that technically you have a right to shoot because here's someone holding a knife against you. And here's a dog running toward you, so you have the right to shoot. But they've been kind of assholey in systematically claiming that right. And yes, there was a fence. Silver Spider says, how was he going to stab them through the fence? I think the philosophy on knives... is he could throw the knife, therefore you have the right to shoot him. So even if there's a fence, it's like, yeah, they had the right to shoot him. But it's like, I wish there was just, I don't know, some sort of human processing here of, okay, clearly here I have someone who's barely able to stand. He's very unlikely to be able to throw the knife. But at the same time, you know, a police doesn't have to go through the risk of receiving a knife in the throat. So that's why it's their right. Biden's disinformation czar claims that worries about leftist censorship are a lie. Nina Jankovic, the flightly far-left foe of the freedom of speech, who once proclaimed herself in a sadly now deleted ex-post as the Mary Poppins of disinformation, has popped up again. Oh boy, whenever she shows up, you know it's not going to go well. Why are they bringing her back? Is she now going to be the Mary Poppins of the Iranian war? Is she going to be the Mary Poppins who goes after all of those who object to Netanyahu's Middle Eastern project? Russian Duma ratifies a 20-year defense energy pact with Iran. That is extremely important. I think that is the most important news today, despite the fact that it kind of went under the radar of most people. Look, Russian Duma ratifies 20-year defense energy pact. The agreement lays a solid foundation for expanding the comprehensive Russian-Iranian partnership in all areas, including defense, counterterrorism, energy, finance, transportation, industry, science, and technology, the Russian news outlet stated. The treaty was concluded for 20 years with the possibility of a subsequent 5-year extension. That is extremely important. Because it's ultimately Russia marking Iran as, look, this is a country in which we have interest. And they're kind of forming a NATO-type alliance with Iran. It's kind of signaling, if there is an attack against Iran, there could be collaboration from Russia to help Iran counter the attack, to help Iran defend against the attack, and potentially to respond to the attack. John Drake says, I think Russia is telling Israel something with this one. Exactly. That's literally Russia saying, we can equip Iran, even if Iran hasn't developed this or that technology, we're going to be there to give them state-of-the-art Russian technology, and you should expect that if you go too rough against them, if you don't deal with attacking their proxies in the countries that bother you, but if you go into an Iranian territorial attack, the Iranian regime will be provided with the tools to respond. And that potentially means Iran having a way to send their nuclear attacks, because Iran is close to developing, potentially close to amassing enough uranium to be able to produce a nuclear bomb. But it's another thing to send that bomb, because you need the technology of hypersonic missiles to be able to send it without having it neutralized in the air. Now, Russia plus Iran, that allows the development of such a strategy, something that could send a nuclear bomb toward a hostile country. Rush Chifley says, JF, I thought there was a heavy Jewish presence in Russia, including Putin being close with Netanyahu, and yet Russia fortifies their alliance with Iran. Yes, there is such a thing as a Jewish presence in Russia, but I would say that Russia is largely a post-Jewish power. So it's a power that has succeeded at getting out the Jewish influence and reducing it to a kind of minority elite influence that it should be, but not more than this. And it just turns out that Russia right now and Iran with... You cannot just think of the entire world as Jewish and terrorist or not Jewish and terrorist. You have to realize that first, there are even different types of Jews who have different interests. Secondly, Russia, Iran, and China being very often the target of tension, they are natural allies against the kind of American empire, you could call it. DK Shadow says, mafias, not mafia. Yeah, there are many groups of Jews, you know. It is left-wing Jews that have convinced, the next generation of leftist children to be so pro-Palestinian. Now, Netanyahu wouldn't like this. Now, Netanyahu is a Jew, but he's a Jew that's different from the Jews in the academia. And the Jews in the academia are different from the Jews around Vladimir Putin. There's a diversity of Jews. Peterson having another breakdown on live TV says Fractalit. Let's have a look at this. Peterson is insufferable.
Because if you tell the truth, what should happen as a consequence of the truth makes itself manifest.
By the way, this is the face you end up with when you have to deal with so much cognitive dissonance that you're out there presenting yourself as a moral model for the world while also supporting the killing of innocent babies. This is how red you become. And you want to know the deep distress of Jordan? You want to know the reason for the tears? Is that he has to stand as a respectful person of the public space out there, trying to make moral cases, trying to guide people morally, while also being a disgusting person morally, who said to Netanyahu, give them hell, when Netanyahu was bombing babies. Here you have the whole story of Jordan Peterson and why he's crying so much, always.
In the world. And that's the best possible outcome. But it's also the most adventurous thing that you can do, the most exciting thing you can do, hands down. There's nothing that compares to it. That pathway of maximal responsibility, voluntary responsibility, and truth. And I understand that deeply.
Well, most importantly, making babies. But yes, truth and responsibility are important.
At a religious level, I understand that that's the symbolic world on which are productive and peaceful.
This guy could have dementia. I mean, this guy could be transitioning into dementia and it would be seamless. This is absolute divagation. The responsibility... maximum voluntary responsibility in a religious sense. Absolutely meaningless statements. If he had something very important to say, there would be easier words he could use to say it. He is a master of making it look like he's saying something when he's not.
Culture was properly founded, and I've seen the effect of communicating that to people, thousands of people, and it's a
clean your benzos, buckos.
Great privilege to serve that role, but it's also overwhelming. You know, I think it is one of the things that made me. I was ill for quite a long time. And I think that was part of the reason, just seeing this, like this malaise so deep, and that's also so easily addressed in a sense. You know, it's that paradoxical combination of depth of suffering and ease of rectification, you know, and I kind of understood what the conservatives have done wrong all along. You know, they tend to moralize in a finger wagging way. You know, you should do this, you should do that. And there's truth in that, you know, that imposition of mature structure on immature
hedonism.
Bro, this is a drug addict. Like, you can get this. You just have to go on the streets of Montreal, find the first homeless with long hair, smoke a joint with him. You're gonna get exactly this. This is a drug addict. He's just having his trip, his little trip publicly. You can get this at any marijuana shops ever. A guy divagating with some connection with some force that's special out there, that's so deep that you can't understand that I'm touching. I'm making moves to look like I'm kind of autistic, but oh, let me turn seriously toward the camera here. This is performative suffering, which, by the way, is the first thing I called out when this guy came out on the scene. When Jordan Peterson came out on the scene, I said, this is the sickness of performative depression. This guy loves to show the torture of his own mind. Because, oh, look at how... And this is exactly what's happening in emos, by the way. The emo is telling you with his, with his emo air, like, I'm so complex, bro. I'm so complex. Like, you don't even begin to understand how fucked up I am inside.